Friends, if we say that we have no sin, guess what? We're lying to ourselves. And we are strangers to the truth. But if we take the time to confess our sins before our God who is faithful, our God who is gracious, our God who is just, will forgive us of all our sins. Therefore, with penitent hearts, let us come before God with the prayer confession that is printed for us in our bulletin. Let us pray together. Gracious and eternal God, you are holy, you are mighty, you are worthy of all praise. We try to follow you. We try to listen to you. We try to love you, but we fall short time and time. Our self-centered sinfulness, strange relationship you want with us, and causes our hearts to become callous. But thank you for loving us, for extending grace and forgiveness, and melting one-hardened hearts, and providing a path for redemption through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us take a moment to confess our sins silently. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ Jesus we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins.
We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ. Stand for a long time at the beginning of worship service, but that's all right. Then you can sit for a long time, I mean, pretty soon. But as we are continuing our standing, let us indeed give an affirmation what we believe, utilizing that creed that has been passed down throughout the centuries, and that is the Apostles' Creed. It can be found for those who are as somewhat unfamiliar with it. It can be found inside the back cover. Sisters and brothers, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Whew, now you can be seated.
No,
not yet. Stay standing. Stay standing. Friends, please pass the peace of Christ to one another. The peace of Jesus Christ be with you. Now we're going to sing. Are you sitting down now? It's good to be in a congregation where everyone's a liturgist and everyone tells the pastor what to do. That's good. Everybody keeps me straight. We are going to have a song here. It's going to be This Little Light of Mine. It's a song that many of you know, some of you may not. We're going to do four different verses of it. Yeah, this is going to be a little tougher, so you have to pay attention. Okay, the reason we're picking this song, because I got a phone call from Mickey. She said, guess what? We have to do a song and you have to lead it. And I had to think in my own mind, what song should I possibly lead?
Amen.
So I hearkened back to the days where Megan, where I used to be a camp counselor and camp director. And this is one of those songs, This Little Light of Mine, that we had there. And
And there's going to be four verses. And also, this is one of my wife's favorite songs. She said it's her favorite camp song. Yes. So blame it on her. But you can't blame my singing on her. And we're going to have a sort of upbeat. We're going to be upbeat. So guess what? You have to pay attention because you don't. I know this is very tough for Presbyterians because we don't have any words in front of us. And you know, that sort of puts us on edge because we like to have everything planned out. But guess what? We roll with the Spirit too. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay, so the first verse is going to be this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. And we're going to repeat that two other times and then we'll be all right. But because it goes, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'll do it. Well, I'm gonna let it shine, and then we'll come on. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Okay, that's pretty good. Now we'll let Mickey catch up with us. Okay, come on, Mickey. Let it shine. Let it, come on. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it. Come on, clap, you can do it. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus rescued me. Jesus rescued me. I'm gonna let it shine. Come on. Jesus rescued me. I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus rescued me. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Everywhere I go. Where I go, I'm gonna let it, come on, sway. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Come on, this little light of mine, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Give yourself a hand. That's all right. The Spirit of God is here at Glenshaw Valley on this day. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. We have responsive reading for us. It's 679. Now, you can actually read this one. Last time we were just rolling with it. Now you have to read something. We're going to make it through this. We're talking about the wisdom of God here. 679. It's a responsive reading, so you'll be you're all the liturgists anyways. You know how to tell me how to do things. So you know that you read the dark and the bold print. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom, instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Happy is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gains understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. flesh and understanding among you. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now we know that you have some prayer requests and some praise requests, and we're going to receive those.
Thank you, John. So we have several prayer requests. The first one here is a prayer request for Candy Binkert. She's a cousin of Kathy Sagey. Prayers that the infection that has spread in her foot can be controlled so not to lose the whole foot. And also prayer and faith and happiness continue to be strong. She is in Allegheny Hospital in room 592. Another prayer request from Kathy Sagey. To all the friends and family who have lost their way but have come and have the desire to come back to the Lord and Savior, pray that we as true disciples of the Lord can spread his word so they may hear and listen to his message, and pray they follow where the Lord shows his mercy and good works to be done. This is a prayer request from Kathy and Clara for Lynn Love. Heather hurt her back really bad and is in pain. So prayers for recovery on that. And we have a praise request from Kathy. This is praise for Tom, May, Sue, Megan, Faith, Sandy, and Brian of GitGo. Thanks for braving the storm to make our tropical fellowship a success, and also to Brian, the manager of GetGo, for donating the ice and cookies. Prayers for thanks to Lois for bringing cookies. So once again, please come to our social afterwards. Keep these persons in prayers and your thoughts.
Friends, please pray with me. Great God, we know that you are indeed faithful. We know that you are caring, and we know that there is not one request that is beyond your hearing. So we ask that you would indeed reach out to your people once again to touch us with your spirit as only you can. We ask indeed that you would lift up those who are so much in need at this time. Especially remember those who are indeed in the hospitals. For those who are suffering with cancer, with HIV/AIDS, with sore backs, with individuals who are there suffering with Ebola in Africa, and now we know of a doctor who has been transported to Emory for care in Atlanta. Great God, there is so much that we do not understand about disease that is out there, but we know that indeed nothing is beyond your control, nothing is beyond your wisdom. So we pray for speedy recovery for all who are ill. We ask indeed that you would be with the healthcare professionals who are working towards cures of these dreaded diseases. We ask indeed that you would be with those who are in war-torn lands in Afghanistan, in the Ukraine, in the Gaza Strip, in Mali. Great God, we ask that your peace would prevail and that people can look to you for answers rather than to their own devices, which always seem to end up in strife and pain. Great God, be with us as we seek to be your faithful people here at Glenshaw Valley. Be with our celebration following worship today. Be with all of our times as we seek to just struggle to see how we can be the best congregation of faith that is absolutely possible. Great God, be with our young people who are here. Be with our pastor who is away. Strengthen him and ready him for the task to lead when he returns. Be with the session and the deacons here. Great God, we thank you for your acts of kindness throughout the ages. And we thank you for the fact that you taught us so much, including how to pray through the words of Jesus as he taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. Amen." We have a hymn of preparation, and we know this congregation likes to stand, so we're going to ask that you stand once again as we sing "Sweet, Sweet Spirit." And we know you like to sing, so let us stand and sing to the glory of God. Once again, friends, we give of what we have received, and we realize that indeed our Lord did not hold back anything, because our Lord indeed gave his life for us. So let us give faithfully as we can. And this is not just about supporting this church, it's about supporting Christ Church Universal. So we ask that the ushers come forward to receive the offering that we are able to give. Please. gifts of your people. May they be utilized so that the works of your kingdom can indeed find fruition. We ask indeed that you would multiply these gifts so that your works of justice, your works of truth, may carry on throughout this place. We ask that your light so shine, not just through these gifts, but through the hearts of each and every last person who is in the house on this day. And we give you all thanks and praise. In Christ's name, amen.
I just realized I made myself comfortable by taking off my jacket. I hope that's okay.
That's fine.
That's all right. I will not preach any longer now that I'm more comfortable, I'll tell you that. Because my mother has plans for the rest of my day. And what mama says, I must do. I actually surprised her when I told her, because she thought I was leaving today, but I'm going to spend a few more days with her. So I'm almost afraid of what she has planned for those few days. But we're going to be all right. And as I'm here with you on this day, I want to bring you greetings from Princeton Theological Seminary. It is another seminary, another PTS, we say. It's located in New Jersey, right across the street, actually literally across the street from Princeton University. That's where I serve as the dean and the vice president there now. And so we really are having a good time. We have about 550 students in our programs, and those programs are all at the master's level. We have individuals who are studying with the seminary from about 25 different countries and from every state in the union. So we are delighted to indeed be one of your seminaries. It's a seminary of the PCUSA. So there are good things happening. So people are talking about, how the bad things in the church. I don't listen to them, because there's these great things happening in the church. Because we know it's Christ's church, it's not our church. And that gives me a lot of joy. Our scripture lesson, our Old Testament lesson, and our only lesson comes to us from the book known as Genesis, the book of beginnings. Chapter 32, verses 22 and following. That same night he arose and took his two wives. Things were different back then. Took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the break of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Tell me, I pray, your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his thigh. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh on the sinew of the hip. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Great God, we thank you for the power and for the magic of your word. And we always ask that your spirit guide us as that we may be able to glean a bit of its understanding. Great God, allow your word to come alive for us so that we can come alive for you.
and be those beacons of light upon the hill, so that your word may go forward, so that all can believe. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, so much of the saga revolving around this morning's text involves the relationship between Jacob and his brother Esau. Now, you know, up until this point in Genesis, we have learned a bit about their relationship, and let's just say it has not been good. How many of you have brothers or sisters? Come on. Just people put their hands up here. And sometimes there are times when you get mad at brothers or sisters. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Well, Jacob and Esau, they had some moments. And we know that they were almost like twins, because Esau was born just seconds, literally seconds, before Jacob. But Esau was the favorite of the father. You know, he was the one who was the hunter. He was the man about the house, the man of the field. He was clearly the stronger of the two. Esau was the kind of person you would like to sit around with and watch the Steelers game. They didn't have football back then, okay. But he was that kind of person. And he was the stereotypical man's man. But look at Jacob, if you can. He was the favorite of his mother. Dare we say it? He was a mommy's boy. He was a quiet man who preferred to hang around the home, preferred to hang around the tents, presumably with the women, because the men were out there doing manly things, right? Now, perhaps you can see Jacob working on quilts, working in the kitchen, working in the flower pots. Now, I know that so many of the roles have become blurred over the years, which is a good thing, because some of the biggest Steeler fans that I know are women. Do I hear an amen, ladies?
Amen.
And I know that some of the best clothes designers, gardeners, and chefs are men. Do I hear an amen, men?
Amen.
That was nowhere near as loud. That was nowhere near as loud, but I was expecting that. I think that you're able to see that there were some differences between these two brothers, even though they were very close in age. And I must confess that I have not been that much of a fan of Jacob. Now, some may not think that this is a proper thing for one who is a teaching elder in the PCUSA to profess. One may not think that this is the kind of thing that a person who's a vice president of the Princeton Theological Seminary should ever say, but I am going to speak the truth, and for there are certain facets of the Jacob narrative that unfold before us which are less than flattering, at least in my eyes' view. And this has nothing to do with the differences noted between Jacob and his brother. Because as you who have sisters and brothers are well aware, there are differences between each and every last child born in the family. Now, I am not a fan of Jacob because there are some things that he has done which, quite frankly, strike me as being sneaky, if not outright wrong. For example, we can note the way in which Jacob stole the birthright that was properly intended for Esau. And that particular story, which is told to us in Genesis 25, it tells of how Esau, who had returned home from doing what else? Hunting. And he was famished. And Esau, he said, "Please give me some of that stew that you are eating. Please give me some." And Jacob, who was an opportunist, said, "Okay, but I have some terms, some conditions. If indeed I will give you some stew, but you have to give me your birthright." Now, those of us gathered in this sanctuary on this day, that may not mean much to us, a birth. What's a birthright? You know, I'm just glad I'm alive. What's a birthright? A birthright there meant that a person was given double the inheritance. which would have been significant if a person, say, when the time comes for the father to die, the person who had the birthright would get double the inheritance. But Esau, who was famished, said, I'm not worried about that right now. Just give me some stew. Esau wanted to have that which he wanted. And so Jacob said, okay, we'll work a deal. And that deal was indeed consummated, and the birthright belonged to Jacob. I understand that indeed that was not a wise thing for Esau to have done, but still, Jacob was sneaky, at least in my eyes. And then we move forward to Genesis 22nd, where we find that Jacob was up to his old tricks. This time he was assisted by his mother. Isn't that sort of wild when a mother was conspiring with a son to go against the other son? What's with that in the Bible? In this particular telling, we find the aging and blind father Isaac close to death. He was prepared to give, the birthright was gone, but now he was going to give the blessing to his favorite son, who was which one? Esau. But the mother had a favorite son of her own, Jacob, and she had a plan to deceive her own husband. Can you imagine that, ladies? Deceiving your husband. That has never been done in your household, has it? Lord help us. Here, Esau is out again on a hunt. Rebekah, having overheard Isaac's intention about the blessing, tells Jacob to again cook a stew with meat, imitating that coming from a hunt, and put some of Esau's smelly, hairy garments on so that the blind father would not know which one was approaching him. He would think that it was Esau, but actually it was Isaac. Oh my goodness gracious. Well, Isaac blesses Jacob. Esau comes back furious. Such deception in the Bible. Can you imagine such a thing? We don't need stories such as what we have on, like Dallas and Scandal and Revenge, to just offer us intrigue. What we have to do is read the Bible. The Bible got some saucy stuff in there if we just spend some time. Do I hear an amen? There's some crazy stuff up in the Bible. Woo! Now, it could be argued that Jacob was merely following the plan laid out by his mother, but I'm not willing to let him off that easy. I know that some of this is my problem, not Jacob's. Thankfully, the book known as the Bible is not about me. It's about the people of God struggling to walk in the ways of the Almighty. It's about you and I as we live in the here and now. Now, these stories about Jacob and Esau, they set the background for our lesson today. Wasn't that a long introduction? Upon hearing of this latest deception, Esau says, guess what? I'm going to kill you. The next time I see you, you and me are going to have battle, and guess who's going to win? I'm tougher. So Jacob is not stupid. Jacob gets out of town. And here, some 20 years later, we find the first encounter quickly approaching between Jacob and his brother Esau. We know how Jacob had that famous dream when he is again by himself on a night and he sees the angels going up and down that ladder. That's another song that we could have sung, Mickey. Yeah, it's Jacob's ladder. We also find him on this story confronted by someone or something with whom he wrestled all night. And it is quite obvious that this being with whom Jacob was engaged in struggle was more than just an ordinary man. You know, some people have said that it was some kind of Canaanite god. That's a theory. Some people said that he's being that he was so afraid of Esau. It could have been Esau that he thought he was wrestling with all night. Don't worry about any of that. Because as we come to grips with the text itself, we find the explanation that is somewhat hidden, that The person with whom he was struggling was none other than an emissary of Yahweh, the Lord God of Israel. Clearly, that was Jacob's own interpretation as witnessed in verse 31 of the chapter 32, where we read that Jacob called the place of the struggle Peniel. Every time you hear El at the end of something, that means from God or of God. And that means that where I have seen God face to face is this place, Peniel. Additional proof comes from the stranger himself, who said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but you shall be called Israel." Again, El at the end of the name. El. He said, "For you have striven with God and with humans and have been victorious." Now, before we proceed any further, I would like for us to reflect on the enormity of the task of wrestling with God. How many of you have felt that you have wrestled with God on occasion? Struggled with God? Struggled perhaps with what God wanted you to do or what God wanted you to be? And you know, it's somewhat humorous and somewhat ominous to think about the whole concept of wrestling with God. Because who can be victorious in wrestling with God, right? And we would only lose. And I see people who are struggling with their sense of call at seminary, and quite frankly, I said, just give it up. Just give it up. Go over to God. Discern your call. Go to the direction that God is calling you. But students, they still struggle. I myself, we still struggle with God. But the idea of wrestling with God, just the mere utterance of the thought, would have bordered on sacrilege, especially for the ancient Jew. It appears to lie within the realm of impossibility for one to ever be victorious when pitted against the living God, the Almighty, the creator of all that is. Obviously, the odds would be stacked against any challenger, but as the story reads, after the entire night of struggle, Jacob and his nemesis, they came to what would be called a draw. So we must ask the question, what is it that the author is trying to convey to the audience? The audience, yes, being the people of ancient Israel, and the audience being those of us here this morning in Glenshaw Valley. This is where, quite frankly, scripture study becomes fun. This is where we both do the hard work of research and perhaps come to conjecture of the true meaning of the text. You know, one of the degrees that I have is called the Master of Divinity, and I laugh when I think about that. But how can anybody master the divine? You know, Master of Divinity, give me a break. And they even have this honorary degree out there called Doctor of Divinity. That's even more laughable. How can we become an expert of knowing God? It seems that God can know us, but we can only live into faith and allow us to take us forward. But I like to have fun in scripture study and Bible study, because our study of the Bible can become real if indeed we do our research, we allow the text to interpret the text, and we see how it can speak to us in the here and now. And that's where it becomes fun. And as we approach this specific text, we must first note that the writer was seeking to lead the people of Israel into a certain understanding of this man, Jacob. That's right. We hearken back to our old friend. What's his name? Jacob. Come on, say it with me again. Jacob. Come on, say it like you. Jacob. Okay. Now, I still maintain that he was a bit sneaky. After all, he took advantage of his own brother. And how many of you have ever taken advantage of your own brother? Come on, yeah. No one in this room. All these saints out here. There we go. How many took advantage of their own sister? Well, yeah, okay. Yeah. There we go. But so we come back to Jacob. Jacob is here. And he took advantage of his brother, and he deceived his own father. Now, I don't think any of us are going to just give up that fact that we deceived our own father. And I think that I've been a bit tough on Jacob at times. I need to be more understanding of him in my view. Because if I have the faith to approach this story with a slightly different angle, and yes, with some admiration, we can admit that Jacob, just like the other patriarchs, he was a human being. And as human beings, we have flaws. Is there anyone here this morning who does not have a flaw or two? Raise your hand. I know some of you were thinking about it. But all of us have flaws, as did Jacob. And one of his flaws was that he was an opportunist. But I must admit that I admire the fact that Jacob was persistent. In our passage from Genesis 32, we can dare to see Jacob anew. I need to indeed have the faith to do that. Here he surely must have been terribly frightened on that night. Here he was alone. Here he was in the darkness of night. Here he was attacked by a stranger, someone whom he did not know at the time. Jacob was wrestling with an adversary who was equally persistent. But notice that it was Jacob who simply would not let go until he received that which he desired. And I must give Jacob credit for that. He knew what he wanted, and he would not let go until he had attained that. Now, too often we are confronted by folks who simply do not know what they want. Or if they have a desire, they simply do not know how to express it. Now, I know that everyone here has gone to a restaurant at some time or another. Have you ever gone to a restaurant with someone who could not make up their mind? Oh my goodness. Ugh. Do you just order something? Make up your mind, because I can just eat anything. That's one of my problems. I'll eat anything. Just go for it. And or maybe you have talked with a young person from your role as a parent. Maybe your role as a teacher. Maybe your role as a friend, and simply inquired, what do you want to do with your future? And all that young person could say was, I don't know. Maybe the young person may be 45 or 50, and they're still saying, I don't know. Friends, such indecision is maddening, and such lack of direction, this was not Jacob's issue. As he tussled with that being all night, he knew exactly what he wanted. Jacob said to that stranger, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And for his persistence, Jacob was rewarded. They are some things worth fighting for, and to have the presence of God in our lives, to have the blessing of God with us, this is something we need to fight for. We need to hold on tight. We need to indeed realize that we have a very tight relationship with our God. And guess what? The important thing is just not our relationship with God, but the most important part of this story is God's relationship with us. Because God was and is willing to put forth the effort to hold on tight to us. Because sometimes we don't even want God in our lives. We see struggles around us. We say, God, just let me alone. God, just let me die. But God just comes back and holds us tight and says, I won't let you go. Because I can see you with your flaws. I can see you with the possibilities. I can see you as a new person in faith. And in this era, a new person in Christ. We know as we read the story from Genesis 32 that with the blessing of God, Jacob was renamed Israel, which can be translated as the one who strives with God. But my friends, there is more depth to the name than just this. This story is more than about one name. It is more than about one group of people. It depicts the relationship between God and the faithful covenant of people. For it can also mean that God strives, or God preserves, or God rules, or God protects. And let me tell you, friends, we need the protection of God in our lives. Do I hear an amen? Now, this is a truly unique feature of the story. Not that the focus is upon Israel, either the man or the nation, but that it is upon the relationship that exists between God and the people of God, those of us who are here in this room. And through this relationship, a new being is called forth. God prepared Jacob for his meeting with his brother Esau. Remember Esau, right? They were about ready to clash, so Jacob thought. And he did not want to indeed see what Esau was going to do with him. But they had not seen each other in 20 years. And when they met each other, we see that they both had changed. It was an interesting family reunion, because Esau was happy to see his brother, and Jacob had changed some of his ways, and he humbled himself before Esau. Friends, may we have the faith and the courage to hold on tight to our God, because we know that our God is holding on to us as only a loving parent or a loving brother or a loving sister can do. Some relationships are worth fighting for. All praise, all glory be to God this day and every day. Amen. Amen. We have a hymn of response. Soon and very soon. And we are going to see the King. And I know you all like to stand and sing. And you've been sitting for a while, so stand and sing loud. I want to hear you. Mickey had it going on that time. That's all right. Mickey had a little bit of stuff in there. She put a little bit of juice in there. A little juice in that one. That's all right, Mickey. That's all right. Friends, go forth to love and serve the Lord. Do so with love, with faithfulness, with courage. Never return evil for evil. Confront evil with the greater power of that which is good. And have the strength to fight for that which you believe. Because there are some things worth fighting for. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship that we have in the Holy Spirit be with us this day and every day. And let the people of God say, Amen.
Amen. Amen.